First, though, to England, where it's estimated that 800,000 people suffer from dementia, but less than half have been actually diagnosed. In an effort to close that gap, the NHS is offering GP practices a financial incentive of £55 for every patient they identify as suffering with dementia, about $100. But the scheme has been controversial. It's been criticised by doctors, patients groups and medical ethics experts. So, is it a good thing for doctors to be financially incentivised? And what's the situation here in Australia? Joining us is Professor Wendy Rogers. She's a Professor of Clinical Ethics at Macquarie University and co-chair of the New South Wales Health Clinical Ethics Advisory Panel. Also with us is Professor Mark Harris, Executive Director of the Centre for Primary Healthcare at the University of New South Wales, and also Dr. Jane Lonnie. She's a clinical neuropsychologist based in Sydney, who works extensively with people suffering from dementia. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cathy.
First to you, Jane. Why do you think it's important to identify people suffering from dementia?
Cathy, there's a range of reasons, and I think it's fair to say that the fairly sort of old-fashioned view was that given that it's not a treatable condition and there's no way to actually halt the disease process, that making a diagnosis was not worthwhile. However, there are a range of reasons, as I say, why it is worthwhile. One of the major benefits is that it allows the patient and equally importantly their family or their carer to be educated as to what the disease process involves, what to expect. We can give them an idea about prognosis, obviously at the appropriate time. Dementia is, as we all know, a devastating illness, and it has a major effect on family and family relationships. And what we see time and time again is that a good deal of that distress and difficulty with family relationships is stemming from the patient and the family not having an understanding of the symptoms and how they're playing out. One of the major benefits as well is enabling the patient, assuming that the diagnosis is made at an early enough stage that the patient retains sufficient cognitive ability, enabling that patient to be a part of making decisions about their own longer-term care, to make decisions about who they wish to manage their financial affairs, so through appointing a power of attorney, who they wish to make healthcare decisions for on their part, a guardian, for example, and also sort of further forward again at the appropriate time to look at end-of-life plans. I think that there are some treatments that can slow down the progression. There are treatments, medical treatments and non-medical treatments that can help with the other symptoms, behavioural symptoms. And, of course, some forms of dementia are reversible. So I think all of these are good reasons to move towards making an early diagnosis.
So it's about management as well as possibility of some kind of treatment, but really giving
Absolutely.
The family and the patient agency in the decisions ahead. Wendy Rogers, can you give us an outline of this scheme as it's been proposed and will be implemented in England?
Thanks, Cathy. As I understand it, the scheme is to increase the case finding of people with dementia. As you say, apparently less than half the people that are estimated to have dementia in the UK have actually been diagnosed. And so this bounty, if you will, as it's been called by some commentators, this £55 will accrue to each general practitioner for each diagnosis of dementia that he or she makes. And the diagnosis can just be based on their own clinical examination. There's disputes about how to diagnose dementia with certainty, but in the documents that are being put out by the NHS, they're saying that the two key features that they're asking GPs to look for is that the patient's symptoms affect daily living activities, and then to go on and try and find the cause, which may require referral to a specialist. So I agree with everything Jane says about the benefits of having a diagnosis if a person's got symptoms, but what worries me about this is that GPs are being encouraged to to investigate or to screen any person who comes into their surgery who they might think at risk of dementia, and then put them through dementia testing, even if that person hasn't got symptoms that bother them, or even if their family isn't worried. And so it's that pressure to try and put a label on people who may not want a label, may have other things going on, may have mild depression, for example, but yet they're going to be all steered towards this dementia diagnosis.
So there's a risk of over-diagnosing, perhaps. What about the change in the relationship between the patient and the doctor? Would some people feel hesitant about raising concerns in case they felt they might be, labelled as having a dementia when they may not?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. I think people are frightened of getting a dementia diagnosis anyway, so I think that's happening. But I think there might be a fear that, you know, you might be an elderly person and you're going to the doctor for your blood pressure tablets, or because you've, you know, fallen over and hurt yourself, and you're worried then that they're going to try and put you on this cascade of investigations towards dementia, even though that's not the problem that you're going for and that's not really what you want. And of course, you know, the doctor should be discussing what they're doing and ask the patient beforehand, but if you think the patient might have a few memory problems or something, there might be a tendency for some paternalism to creep in and just think, well, while I'm here talking to you, I'll just ask a few questions, and if you can't tell me, you know, who the Prime Minister is and what the date is and so forth, then I might start putting you, you know, seeing if you've got dementia. So it by putting in an incentive, it takes the emphasis away from the doctor responding to what the patient has come in with towards the doctor's own agenda, which might be trying to identify people with dementia. And those two things might come together ethically at times, but they might also come apart.
But Wendy, Anne Robinson is a British GP, and she recently wrote in The Guardian that we shouldn't pay doctors to spot new dementia cases because there's, well, she says, frankly, a lack of effective treatment. Do you agree with that?
I think it depends what you mean by effective treatment. I mean, I take the points that Jane raised, that there are management strategies that you can put in, and sometimes it can be very helpful to have the diagnosis. But I think I heard on the news this morning, in New Zealand, they claim to have found a blood test that can tell you whether you're going to have dementia in 20 years' time, and I just thought that's completely horrific.
So do I.
If there's no treatment. You know, because there is, we can't reverse it. I mean, I think if you say, you know, you can't cure dementia. There may be, some people may have some reversible factors and you may be able to improve people's cognitive functioning, but basically it is an irreversible disease. And I think if a person is living their life quite happily, then medicine's got no remit to come in and start telling them they've got a disease that they should be sorting out when medicine hasn't got an effective strategy to offer. Which is not to say that you know, all elderly people should be getting good advice about the things that will help them live longer and better, like social engagement, good diet, exercise and so forth. And those things will benefit people with early Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia as well.
Jane Lonnie, if a patient comes in who isn't concerned about their brain function, but the doctor starts asking questions about their memory, as Wendy described, what are the risks that a patient might become suspicious? Do you think this is a problem?
Look, I think that dementia is a frightening thing. It's frightening for patients, but I think it's also frightening for a lot of clinicians. I think it's a difficult thing to discuss. It's a difficult thing to broach, and I think it's really important for clinicians who are dealing with early stage dementia and the difficult difficulties in making a diagnosis to be skilled in discussing, explaining to the patient what the options are for further investigation, the advantages and disadvantages of those, what the likely outcomes are going to be, and to be able to do that in a very sensitive and a very sort of, very supportive and informed way.
Mm. Now, to you, Mark Harris, yeah, you've done some work in this area. Firstly, what are the aims of giving doctors financial incentives? What's the logic?
Well, the logic is that financial incentives can encourage good clinical practice and provide doctors and other health professionals with the resources they need in order to provide better care. So it's one of the measures which we have available to improve quality of care, but it's really only one measure. There's a lot of others that we can use to try and improve quality of care. And so it's important that this is a powerful measure and we need to use it carefully, and we need to think through what might be the unanticipated effects, the sorts of things that Wendy's been talking about. So we've actually got a checklist of questions that we've come up with. Financial incentives.
Yeah, but what you're saying, that it's about improving the practice.
Yeah.
Isn't it surely just going into the pocket of the GP? Is there any compunction?
Well, it depends on how the incentive's designed and what it's for. There's various ways in which that can be. It's fairly unusual for this sort of incentive. Is a very unusual form of incentive, I've got to say. I've never heard of people being paid for a diagnosis before. These sorts of things that, for example, in Australia, we have had an incentive for practices to improve their immunisation rates, and so they're given some additional funding if they can get their coverage for immunisation up from, say, 80% up to 90%. And that's got clear benefits for the community because it will help to protect the overall community against some infectious diseases.
Yeah, in a way, it's a different case, isn't it?
And it does require the practice to do some things.
It's a different case because it's about community health rather than the individual health. Are there any other financial incentives for GPs in Australia that are more like this dementia payment?
Well, not really. The closest would be that there's an incentive for GPs to complete an annual cycle of care for people with diabetes. So they're given a small incentive. I've got to say it's quite a small incentive to try and improve the proportion of their patients with diabetes who have all of the things that the guidelines say they should have in a year. And again, that's an incentive to try and improve the quality of care for those individual people. But it clearly has benefits for the whole community because better care for people with diabetes means that there's fewer complications and fewer hospitalizations. So that's the nature of most incentives to date. There haven't been incentives of this sort, and I think it's one of the reasons there's been such a reaction.
So, Mark Harris, you mentioned a checklist. You co-authored a paper in 2012 with the British Medical Journal on the question of financial incentives. Yeah. Run us through what you think should be asked before a system like this is implemented.
Okay. Well, the first question is, does the desired clinical action improve patient outcomes? So does improved early detection of early diagnosis of dementia improve clinical outcomes? And I think there is, I think Jane's summarised some of the reasons that that's a good thing to do. There is a problem at the moment that many cases of dementia are not diagnosed, or they're diagnosed very late, and so that's a problem. It's a little different from the issue Wendy raised about being at risk, so I think that's a separate issue. But once people actually have clinical evidence of dementia, we would want it to be diagnosed for the reasons that Jane's outlined. The second question then is, will the undesirable clinical behaviour, in other words, GPs not diagnosing dementia, persist without intervention? And that's unclear. Certainly there's other programs going on to try and improve the assessment of dementia and to change GPs' attitudes, which are often a little bit fatalistic, a bit like the comment that was made earlier, you know, what can you do for people? So are there valid and reliable measures of the clinical outcome? Yes, we can determine whether or not a diagnosis has been made. But have the barriers to improving the diagnosis by GPs been really fully assessed? And I think there has been some research, but not really enough to say that it's going to be corrected by this sort of incentive. Mm. So the fifth question was, will incentives work better than other interventions? And I think that we really don't have good evidence that this sort of incentive, an incentive which is essentially paying per diagnosis,
that's,
is
that's
going
the
to
question
work.
I want to take straight back to Wendy Rogers. Wendy, you know, is there a risk that the incentives will cause doctors to pick off easy targets, or will we see doctors moving out to regional and rural areas where they're desperately needed and working and the system being very beneficial?
So for the latter, you're not talking about in dementia incentives. I'll take the dementia incentives first. I mean, I think the worry with those, with this particular case finding one, is that it creates a conflict of interest, and the conflicts of interest don't work as overtly as, oh, good, you know, here's an old person, I can give them a dementia diagnosis and get my £55. It's not, you know, there would be very few, if any, doctors whose thinking would go like that. But we know from quite robust social science research that conflicts of interest work at a subconscious level. So when the doctor's doing that assessment of the patient, and some, you know, how are you managing your activities of daily living? You know, there'd just be an unconscious bias towards ticking all the boxes that say yes, that are going to push that person towards a diagnosis. And they're unconscious biases, so people don't know that they're operating. And that's the problem when you introduce something like this. We know how difficult conflicts of interest are to deal with, so that's why it seems really unethical to introduce something that creates a conflict of interest where there wasn't one before. Whereas before there was no conflict in diagnosing dementia, you just responded to your patient and or their carers and you know, tried to work out what was going on. And if that included diagnosing dementia, well, that was good clinical care.
Well, it's a fascinating and extremely important discussion to be having. It'll be interesting to see whether we end up making large-scale moves like the one that the NHS in England has made. Thank you to all three of you for being with us this morning and discussing just a few of the issues, just scratching the surface. Jane Lonnie is clinical neuropsychologist based in Sydney. Professor Wendy Rogers is with clinical ethics at Macquarie University and co-chair of the New South Wales Health Clinics Advisory Panel. And Professor Mark Harris is executive director of the Centre for Primary Health Care at the University of New South Wales.